Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
This is Kid in a Cage.
Florida versus Timothy Ferriter.
A father accused of locking his adopted son inside a cage. Join us as we hear the facts behind these charges
through live courtroom audio from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
All rise. The court is back in session. The Honorable Judge Howard Coates presiding.
Good afternoon, everyone. You may be seated. All right, court is back in session on State versus Ferriter. Let me have appearances, please.
On behalf of the state, Brianna Coakley, Karen Black on behalf of the state. On behalf of the defense, Trina Maraud with Coral Wanted, and Mr. Ferriter.
All right, all sides ready to proceed. Anything the court needs to address before we have the jurors brought out? All right, so let me just state kind of the obvious. When you're in a court proceeding in the gallery, during the closing arguments, whether you feel one way or another about the case, you're to keep your emotions suppressed while you're in the courtroom. You're not to have any outbursts of any kind. That especially goes for the closing arguments, because there may be things that are said that some of you will agree with, some of you will disagree with. It especially holds, though, with respect to the verdict. Once the verdict is read, everyone is to reserve their emotions as best you can. Any outburst, if you feel like you need to have an outburst, you go outside the courtroom and scream, yell, do whatever you want, but not in the courtroom in the presence of the jury. We haven't had any issue with that during the 8 days now that this proceeding has been going on, so I don't anticipate that there will be any issues with it today. But in any event, you've been advised of the proper decorum in court, and I expect everyone to abide by that. Anything else I need to address before we bring the jurors out? All right, Mark, you may bring the jurors out. All rise. All right, everyone may be seated. All right, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, welcome back. I trust everyone had a good evening. As I advised you yesterday, the start time was later today, 1 o'clock for you folks. So that what that means is you will not be getting a lunch break. I'm presuming that you already had that before arriving. In any event, we are still in the defense portion of the case. After the defense portion of the case, we'll then be moving to closing arguments. At this point in time, does the defense have any further witnesses to call?
No, Your Honor. At this time, the defense rests and renews any previous motions for judgment of acquittal on prior grounds.
All right. Court notes that the defendant has rested and renewed any previous motions filed with the court and heard by the court. At sidebar, the court's rulings with respect to all prior motions remains the same and as stated on sidebar in an open court. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, that concludes the state's and the defense portion of the case. So the evidentiary portion of this trial has been concluded. What that means for you is we will be moving into the closing arguments phase of the case. Each of you are having passed out to you what are called jury instructions. And these instructions I'm going to be reading to you in just a moment. They're the instructions on the law that you will use and need to resort to decide this case. I will tell you, as I read the instructions, don't feel like you've got to memorize anything, because you're going to be able to take copies of these back into the jury room with you to review during your deliberations. The only thing you won't be able to take back is the verdict form. After I've finished reading the instructions and the verdict form, before you go back into the jury room, I will have you remove the verdict form, because we only send one verdict form back into the jury room. We never want to have a situation where competing verdict forms are coming out of the jury room. So we deal with that by making sure you only have one verdict form in which to render your determination on. Okay? All right, so with that, let me begin with the instructions that I'll be reading. I do ask that you bear with me. I will be reading the instructions. Listen to them carefully, but again, don't feel like you got to memorize them, because you're going to get copies of them. Members of the jury, I thank you for your attention during this trial. Please pay attention to the instructions that I am about to give you. Timothy Dunn Ferriter, the defendant in this case, has been accused of the crime of aggravated child abuse and false imprisonment and neglect of a child. To prove the crime of aggravated child abuse, the state must prove the following two elements beyond a reasonable doubt. One, Timothy Dunn Ferriter willfully tortured RTF or maliciously punished RTF or willfully and unlawfully caged RTF. Two, RTF was under the age of 18 years. Willfully means intentionally and purposely. Maliciously means wrongfully, intentionally, and without legal justification or excuse. Maliciousness may be established by circumstances from which one could conclude that a reasonable parent would not have engaged in the damaging acts toward the child for any valid reason, and that the primary purpose of the acts was to cause the victim unjustifiable pain or injury. It is not a crime for a parent of a child to impose reasonable physical discipline on a child for misbehavior under the circumstances, even though physical injury resulted from the discipline. If you find that the state proved beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant was not a parent of RTF, or if you find that the defendant proved beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant's physical discipline on RTF was not reasonable for misbehavior under the circumstances, you should find him guilty if all the elements of the charge have been proven beyond a reasonable doubt. To prove the crime of false imprisonment, the state must prove the following two elements beyond a reasonable doubt. One, Timothy Dunn Ferriter forcefully, secretly, or by threat confined, imprisoned, or restrained RTF against his will. And two, Timothy Dunn Ferriter had no lawful authority to do so. Secretly means the defendant intended to isolate or insulate RTF from meaningful contact or meaningful communication with the public. To prove the crime of neglect of a child, the state must prove the following three elements beyond a reasonable doubt. One, Timothy Dunn Ferriter willfully or by culpable negligence failed or omitted to provide RTF with the care, supervision, and services necessary to maintain RTF's physical or mental health, or failed to make a reasonable effort to protect RTF from abuse, neglect, or exploitation by another person. Two, Timothy Dunn Ferriter was a caregiver for RTF. And three, RTF was under the age of 18 years. Neglect of a child may be based on repeated conduct or on a single incident or omission that resulted in, or reasonably could have been expected to result in, serious physical or mental injury or a substantial risk of death to a child. Caregiver means a parent, adult household member, or other person responsible for a child's welfare. I will now define what is meant by the term culpable negligence. Each of us has a duty to act reasonably toward others. If there is a violation of that duty, without any conscious intention to harm, that violation is negligence. But culpable negligence is more than a failure to use ordinary care for others. For negligence to be called culpable negligence, it must be gross and flagrant. The negligence must be committed with an utter disregard for the safety of others. Culpable negligence is consciously doing an act or following a course of conduct that the defendant must have known or reasonably should have known was likely to cause death or great bodily harm. In considering the evidence, you should consider the possibility, although the evidence may not convince you that the defendant committed the main crimes of which he is accused, there may be evidence that he committed other acts that would constitute a lesser included crime. Therefore, if you decide that the main accusation has not been proved beyond a reasonable doubt, you will next need to decide if the defendant is guilty of any lesser included crime. The lesser crime indicated in the definition of aggravated child abuse is child abuse. To prove the crime of child abuse, a lesser included crime of count one, the state must prove the following two elements beyond a reasonable doubt. One, Timothy Dunn Ferriter knowingly or willfully abused RTF by intentionally inflicting physical or mental injury upon RTF, or committed an intentional act that could reasonably be expected to result in physical or mental injury to RTF, or actively encouraged another person to commit an act that resulted in or could reasonably have been expected to result in physical or mental injury to RTF. And two, RTF was under the age of 18 years. It is not a crime for a parent of a child to impose reasonable physical discipline on a child for misbehavior under the circumstances, even though physical injury resulted from the discipline. If you find that the state proved beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant was not a parent of RTF, or if you find that the state proved beyond a reasonable doubt that the defendant's physical discipline on RTF was not reasonable for misbehavior under the circumstances, you should find him guilty if all the elements of the charge have been proven beyond a reasonable doubt. Willfully means intentionally and purposefully, and mental injury means an injury to the intellectual or psychological capacity of a child as evidenced by a discernible and substantial impairment in the ability to function within the normal range of performance and behavior as supported by expert testimony. If the defendant helped another person or persons commit or attempt to commit a crime, the defendant is a principal and must be treated as if he had done all the things the other person or persons did if, one, the defendant had a conscious intent that the criminal act be done, and two, the defendant did some act or said some word which was intended to and which did incite, cause, encourage, assist, or advise the other person or persons to actually commit or attempt to commit the crime. To be a principal, the defendant does not have to be present when the crime is committed or attempted. The defendant has entered a plea of not guilty. This means you must presume or believe the defendant is innocent. The presumption stays with the defendant as to each material allegation in the information through each stage of the trial, unless it has been overcome by the evidence to the exclusion of and beyond a reasonable doubt. To overcome the defendant's presumption of innocence, the state has the burden of proving the crime with which the defendant is charged was committed, and the defendant is the person who committed the crime. The defendant is not required to present evidence or prove anything. Whenever the words reasonable doubt are used, you must consider the following. A reasonable doubt is not a mere possible doubt, a speculative, imaginary, or forced doubt. Such a doubt must not influence you to return a verdict of not guilty if you have an abiding conviction of guilt. On the other hand, if after carefully considering, comparing, and weighing all of the evidence, there is not an abiding conviction of guilt, or if having a conviction it is one which is not stable, but one which wavers and vacillates, then the charge is not proved beyond every reasonable doubt, and you must find the defendant not guilty because the doubt is reasonable. It is to the evidence introduced in this trial and to it alone that you are to look for that proof. A reasonable doubt as to the guilt of the defendant may arise from the evidence, conflict in the evidence, or lack of evidence. If you have a reasonable doubt, you should find the defendant not guilty. If you have no reasonable doubt, you should find the defendant guilty. It is up to you to decide what evidence is reliable. You should use your common sense in deciding which is the best evidence and which evidence should not be relied upon in considering your verdict. You may find some of the evidence not reliable or less reliable than other evidence. You should consider how the witnesses acted as well as what they said. And some things you should consider are as follows. One, Did the witness seem to have an opportunity to see and know the things about which the witness testified? 2, did the witness seem to have an accurate memory? 3, was the witness honest and straightforward in answering the attorney's questions? 4, did the witness have some interest in how the case should be decided? 5, does the witness's testimony agree with the other testimony and other evidence in the case? 6, has the witness been offered or received any money, preferred treatment, or other benefit in order to get the witness to testify? And 7, did the witness at some other time make a statement that is inconsistent with the testimony he or she gave in court? Whether the state has met its burden of proof does not depend upon the number of witnesses it has called or upon the number of exhibits it has offered, but instead upon the nature and quality of the evidence presented. The fact that a witness is employed in law enforcement does not mean that his or her testimony deserves more or less consideration than that of any other witness. Expert witnesses are like other witnesses with one exception. The law permits an expert witness to give his or her opinion. However, an expert's opinion is reliable only when given on a subject about which you believe him or her to be an expert. Like other witnesses, you may believe or disbelieve all or any part of an expert's testimony. You've heard the testimony of a child. No witness is disqualified just because of age. There's no precise age that determines whether a witness may testify. The critical consideration is not the witness's age, but whether the witness understands the difference between what is true and what is not true, and understands the duty to tell the truth. It is entirely proper for a lawyer to talk to a witness about what testimony the witness would give if called to the courtroom. The witness should not be discredited by talking to a lawyer about his or her testimony. You may rely upon your own conclusion about the credibility of any witness, and a juror may believe or disbelieve all or any part of the evidence or the testimony of any witness. The Constitution requires the state to prove its accusations against the defendant. It is not necessary for the defendant to disprove anything, nor is the defendant required to prove his innocence. It is up to the state to prove the defendant's guilt by evidence. The defendant exercised a fundamental right by choosing not to be a witness in this case. You must not view this as an admission of guilt or be influenced in any way by his decision. No juror should ever be concerned that the defendant did or did not take the witness stand to give testimony in the case. Now, there are some general rules that apply to your discussion. You must follow these rules in order to return a lawful verdict, and they're as follows. 1, you must follow the law as it is set out in these instructions. If you fail to follow the law, your verdict will be a miscarriage of justice, and there is no reason for failing to follow the law in this case, and all of us are depending upon you to make a wise and legal decision in this matter. 2, this case must be decided only upon the evidence that you have heard from the testimony of the witnesses and have seen in the form of exhibits in evidence and these instructions. 3, this case must not be decided for or against anyone because you feel sorry for anyone or are angry at anyone. 4, remember the lawyers are not on trial. Your feelings about them should not influence your decision in this case. 5, your duty is to determine if the defendant has been proven guilty or not in accord with the law. It is the judge's job to determine a proper sentence if the defendant is found guilty. 6, whatever verdict you render must be unanimous. That is, each juror must agree to the same verdict. And 7, your verdict should not be influenced by feelings of prejudice, bias, or sympathy. Your verdict must be based on the evidence and on the law contained in these instructions. Deciding a verdict is exclusively your job, and I cannot participate in that decision in any way. So what I would ask is that you please disregard anything I may have said or done that made you think I preferred one verdict over another, as that would not be the case. You may find the defendant guilty as charged in the information or guilty of such lesser included crime as the evidence may justify or not guilty. If you return a verdict of guilty, it should be for the highest offense on the verdict form for each count that has been proven beyond a reasonable doubt. If you find that no offense has been proven beyond a reasonable doubt, then of course your verdict must be not guilty. The verdict must be unanimous, and that is, all of you must agree to the same verdict. Only one verdict may be returned as to each crime charged. The verdict must be in writing for you, and for your convenience, the necessary verdict form has been prepared for you, and each of you have a copy of it, and it is as follows. So As I indicated, you'll take one of these verdict forms into the court or into the jury room for deliberations. And they begin as follows, or it begins. We, the jury, find as follows, and the first count that you'll be asked to address will be count one. You're basically given three options under count one. The first option is guilty of aggravated child abuse as charged in the information. If the unanimous determination of the jury is that that's the appropriate determination, then you check that box and move on to count two. If, however, the unanimous determination of the jury is that not to check the first box, then you move on to a consideration of the second line for guilty of child abuse, a lesser included offense. And again, if the collective unanimous determination of the jury is that that's the appropriate box to check, then you check it and move on to count two. If not, then you will move to the third box for not guilty. And if, again, that is the collective unanimous determination of the jury, that would be the box that you would check. Once you've checked the, a box for count one, you will then move to a consideration of count two. In count two, you have two options. One is guilty of false imprisonment as charged in the information, or two, not guilty. And so whatever the collective unanimous determination of the jury is as to count two, you'll check the appropriate box, and once that has been done, you will then move on to a consideration for count three. Count three, you also have two choices, guilty of neglect of a child as charged in the information and not guilty, and again, whatever the collective unanimous determination is of the jury, you will check the appropriate box. Importantly, you only check one box for each count. So just keep that in mind as you go through the verdict form. At the end, once the foreperson is selected, that person will date the verdict form and sign where indicated on the verdict form. A separate crime is charged in each count of the information, and although they have been tried together, each crime and the evidence applicable to it must be considered separately and a separate verdict returned as to each. And so by the way the verdict form is separated, you would be returning a separate verdict as to each count. A finding of guilty or not guilty as to one crime must not affect your verdict as to the other crime charged. The evidence you receive from RF and FF concerning other crimes, wrongs, or acts allegedly committed by the defendant will be considered by you for the limited purpose of proving motive, opportunity, intent, preparation, plan, knowledge, identity, or the absence of mistake or accident, and you shall consider it only as it relates to those issues. However, the defendant is not on trial for a crime, wrong, or act that is not included in the information, and you cannot convict the defendant for an offense that he is not charged with. Instead, he can only be convicted of the crime for which he is charged. All right, so both the state and the defense have now rested their case, and before I get into the closing arguments, let me just make sure that up to this point in time, and I've asked this pretty much every day, has any member of the jury at this point been inadvertently exposed to any contact or exposure to any media, whether it's video, television, print media, or anything like that? Anybody been exposed? All right, so let the record reflect that no one has indicated any inadvertent exposure to any media coverage during the conduct of this trial. So that takes us to the last thing that I will need to tell you at this point, and that is that the attorneys...
Can I come sidebar for a moment?
You may. Okay, so as sometimes happens, after the court has read the instructions, it becomes apparent that there may be an additional instruction that the parties, either of the parties, may want to have read. So that has occurred here, and so in order to make sure that I properly read to you any additional instructions that were not part of the original packet that were provided to me, I need to take a recess for about 5 minutes to have them print out the additional instructions, and it will change the form of the verdict form. So I'll go over the additional instruction and the form of the verdict form so to make sure that you have everything that you're going to need to know. I'm not correcting anything that I've already read to you. I'm just adding an additional instruction, which will also make for an addition to the verdict form. So we'll take a very short recess for 5 minutes, and then once I get the new instruction in front of me, we'll begin with reading that one. All right, everyone may be seated. So what I'm going to do in regard to addressing your request for an additional instruction, Mr. Waheed, I'm going to read the when there are lesser included crime instructions. Let me get back to that one. Yeah, I'll read 3.4 again, and after I read that, you'll just need to include what is the child neglect is the lesser to what? Child abuse?
Culpable negligence is the lesser to child to neglect.
So which is culpable negligence, so a lesser? It's in the count one?
Count three.
Count three. Okay, so 3.4 needs to be changed to include that culpable negligence is a lesser to count three, so that I'll advise them of that. I'm not going to reread the lesser that I've already read. I will only read them the additional lesser dealing with culpable neglect as to count three, and then I'll go back over the verdict form, and they'll be provided with a new copy of the verdict form that will that I can at least explain to them. They can go back to that. Thanks. All right, does that take care of everything? So just print those out to can you open up Judge Rowe's office? They're going to print to that so I have copies. All right, court will be in recess for probably no longer than 5 or 10 minutes, but as soon as the forms are ready, we're going to reconvene to get things going. All right, I'll be in recess for a few minutes.
Court's in a brief recess.
There's more to come.
Kid in a Cage.
Florida versus Timothy Ferriter from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Press subscribe now.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino. Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA. Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited. Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto, America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino.
Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots.
You can't beat that.
So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spend on Moto Casino.
Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily.
And the best part?
Guaranteed daily jackpots.
You can't beat that.
So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino.
Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Identity theft can cost more than you think. Drained investment accounts, stolen tax returns, lost wages, expenses for lawyers. It's a lot. That's why LifeLock is backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, which covers up to $1 million each for stolen funds, fees for experts and lawyers, and out-of-pocket expenses. Don't face the burden of identity theft alone. Protect your future and finances with LifeLock. Join now and save up to 30% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.